Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 091. Yes, as this is the holiday wrapping edition. This is probably going to be one of the last episodes right before the holidays begin in earnest. This is airing on December 20th, 2006. One of the last episodes of 2006, and just for that occasion, we're recording a little bit early tonight, and as is such, we have a co-host you might have heard a little bit already. Yes, little Paul is here with us. There's going to be a picture of him up on the Caffeination website if you want to find out what he's looking like. Whoa. If you're going to find out what he looks like. Working on one and a half hands here, so please bear with me. Everything else should be all right. So it's been kind of a fun couple days. Actually going to be taking Paul into work for a little bit so he can see everybody in there and just giving everybody a rest, trying to work everything out for the holiday season. It's going to be kind of fun. This is the first year, I believe, ever that the place where both my wife and I work are actually giving everyone off in between Christmas and New Year's. So it's an unprecedented move in the university we work at. But it's unbelievable for us. I mean, especially since we have such a young child. It's just great that we're going to be able to spend that much time with him when he's still this young. He still hasn't rolled over yet, so we might be able to catch that show. You know what I mean? So it should be kind of fun. First off, we're going to mention our sponsor here. This show is proudly sponsored by GoToMeeting. Try it free for 45 days. These days, whether you're in business or you simply want to share something with family or friends, email and voicemail just aren't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, an online meeting solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. GoToMeeting makes it easy to provide training and share information with coworkers, family, and friends. All you need is your PC, an internet connection, and a phone. You invite people to meet you online, your attendees see your computer screen on their monitors, and best of all, you can meet as long as you want, as often as you need, for one flat rate. But don't take my word for it, try it for yourself, free for 45 days, no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and type in the promo code PODCAST, that's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com, Try It Free button, and the promo code PODCAST. Try GoToMeeting free today. Alright, so we have a great show lined up for you today, a whole bunch of crazy PodSafe music for you, a whole bunch of neat stuff we're going to be throwing out there. And one of the coolest things that at least I think about this show is that we're actually going to be premiering some music selected by the boy tonight. I was starting to play a whole bunch of PodSafe music while he was down here, and I was getting ready for my show, and I was like, you know what, I think I'm going to go with something that he might actually enjoy. So whatever he gave me the best reaction to is what we're playing today. Apparently he likes the musical stylings of one Dusty Hughes from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. Dusty has a really cool sound, kind of a mix between a classical interpretation of Christmas songs and kind of a little rock edge to it. So it's kind of nice, kind of a refreshing little take on some of the classics. And we have two of them here for you tonight. The first up from the PodSafe Music Network, Dusty Hughes and his rendition of Oh Holy Night. Now, this is one of my favorite songs for Christmas. Besides things like, the Carol of the Bells, which I hold in high esteem, especially the people and the performers that do it the right way, that do it correctly with all the different parts assigned as they should be. My mom and dad love Johnny Mathis Christmas, and it's all right. I think it got a little overplayed during my childhood, so I kind of have a natural aversion to it. But one of the things that's always irritated me about his rendition of Carol of the Bells was he sings the deep part, and he really doesn't have a deep voice, so it never really sounded right, if you know what I mean. So, this is a song that sounds right by all accounts. So, from everybody here at the Caffeination, that's me and the boy tonight, is our co-host. Yes, little Paul is right here staring up at the microphone, especially the little skull we have hanging from it, which glows red whenever you flick it. He loves that. So, yeah, I know, completely nonsensical, but hopefully everybody will enjoy this. Again, here's Dusty Hughes and his song, Oh Holy Night, from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night all our dear Savior's birth. Lonely the world in sin and error, pining to hear appear. soul filled his world. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder is a new and glorious one. Was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine.
Again, that was Dusty Hughes from the PodSafe Music Network. That's right, boy. And his rendition of Oh Holy Night. So hopefully you're enjoying that. Like I said, it's going to be a little bit odd today. Everything's just a little bit off, so we're trying to make sure that you get the best possible podcast out there. We have our Tech Tidbits section coming up. That's going to be kind of fun. But we're going to have a whole bunch of Christmas technology in there, a whole bunch of stuff happening that really needs to get out there before the holidays. So hopefully you understand what's going on and all that. So and then we have an update from the Child's Play charity, which is always fun. And as always, there'll be plenty of little comments from the boy throughout the show. So you can see and hear them. Well, not see necessarily, but still. Alright, first up from the Tech Tidbits section here at the Caffeination, which, by the way, I haven't said anything yet, but if you're looking for this show and you're listening to it on the stream over the Tech Podcast Network, then you can find it at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. We accept comments, feedback, suggestions, hate mail, whatever else, at caffeination@gmail.com, and you can go over to MySpace and find everything over there, too, at MySpace.com/caffeination. All right, first up here from the Sci-Fi Tech blog, one of the coolest things I've seen. One of the coolest things I've seen in a little while. It's LED holiday lights that might save your life. Yeah, apparently not only do they use 80% less power than standard twinkle lights, they cost a little bit more, so you kind of, I don't know, it kind of balances out in the very end. But they also don't have as anywhere near as great of a risk of fire. You know, when you're strapping these lights onto a dried out piece of pine, it's always really good to think about. And the boy's found his fist. That's fun. And we're gone. Yeah, but I just looked at these like, you know what? That's a really good idea. I just hope they have the same kind of twinkling that you can see in some of them. But I could definitely see this being a lot better than the fragile glass twinkle lights that you can buy. Because, I mean, everybody's heard the song, but, you know, one of those things goes out, they all go out. It's just really frustrating putting them up. I mean, for in work, for instance, I actually have four strands of twinkle lights that I threw up around some of the windows and around near my office. And last year, put them all away. Every single strand worked. Pulled them out this year, right after Thanksgiving, of course, and every single strand didn't. They were in a box all year in one of our storage rooms. Not much could have happened. But with the life that LEDs have, it's a little disappointing. With the life that LEDs have, I wouldn't have been disappointed, rather. So, keeping along the same LED thing, one of my brother-in-laws and his girlfriend, for a housewarming present, they bought us a cool little thing. It's a something you strap onto the tip of your faucet, and whenever you turn it on, your water now glows blue. So it's a little LED light for the faucet. It's kind of cool, especially if you turn the faucet on in the dark. It looks like you're pouring antifreeze out or something awesome like that. But somebody took it one step further. We have a link over here from Gizmodo. Apparently, this is a color-changing LED faucet. It warns you of impending burning. So when it's cool or cold, the water comes out lit blue. But the warmer it gets, the redder it gets. So I assume that when it's burning hot, it's flaming red. They actually have a link up there of a in our link, they actually have an older version of this, which is kind of not as pretty as the one that they have up there. I would seriously consider getting this. I mean, especially since everybody has all those little toys and everything that let you know whether or not the water's safe for your kid. My sister actually bought us one of the little rubber duckies, and on the bottom of it says hot, and you can only see it saying hot when the water's too hot. So other than that, it doesn't say anything, which is pretty cool nonetheless. So all right. Well, having a little problem with the sound effects. Yeah, he didn't like that. Having a little problem with the sound effects today because, don't really have a whole lot of latitude with mousing and everything right now. He's just kind of sitting on my knee, so it's kind of fun doing an episode like this. Haven't done one in a while, especially not since he can hold his head upright, so that's all kinds of fun. All right, next up we have BBC makes available some shows online for free via the BitTorrent network Azirus. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Probably spelled it wrong, too. Yeah, I did. Well, it's linked up on Slashdot, and there's a couple other places online that you can find this. But I was like, wow, this is awesome. First of all, one of the shows that they're going to be putting up there is Doctor Who, and everybody seems to like that one. Never really got into it too much. But another one is a Britcom called Red Dwarf. And I fell in love with this thing in high school. A lot of my friends were watching it. And, I kind of got a little disappointed when I keep missing it or it's not on TV. I don't know. I haven't really looked for it. But at the same point in time, if I can start getting episodes for free online, that's going to be really cool. So, all right, that just about wraps that one up. Now, next on, the UK, again with British, because, the British are coming, apparently, but still. UK reports predicts rights for robots, your Ibo wants a tax break. At least that's the quote from over at Gizmodo, or Engadget, I'm sorry. I actually have two links up there right now. But robots, Asimov would be proud, yes. Apparently, people are starting to plan already for when we actually create sentient robots so that they would be able to plan what kind of rights these robots would be able to have. So it's not like you would be able to mistreat them. You wouldn't be able to... there's a laundry list, actually, of things that they're saying that robots should be able to do. So they say that the robots that we currently have right now are inanimate objects without rights or duties. But they're saying there could be a time, and as soon as 2056, which I will be quite old at that point... But there could be a time as soon as 2056 in which we will create some form of sentient robotic life, and at which point we would be duty bound to compensate them for work, similar rights to what humans have. But I could definitely see this taking off, and it's kind of interesting that people are thinking about it so far ahead. Actually, I think it's really cool that people are thinking about it so far ahead. Like I said, there's two links to that. And then the next thing we have here in the robotics section is Microsoft formally releases robotic software. Yes, Microsoft, this is via Slashdot. Microsoft's formally releasing robotic software. And it says the software is being licensed for $400 a copy. All right, now I want to take you away from the story just for a little bit. Alright, now we have Xboxes, which crash and show that little red light, right? Then we have Windows machines, which have always shown the blue screen of death. Then we have all kinds of other strange Microsoft problems where they just don't work out the way everybody thinks they should. Do we really want to put these things in robots? Especially robots, like a couple we featured on here that could, kill us. Do we really want to be powering a robot with a piece of software that comes from a company with probably not the best track record when it comes to things like, stability? Now, I'm not necessarily a Microsoft fanboy, nor am I a hater, as some people might say. I'm more of a pragmatist, and if you have a company which has a tradition of putting out software and services, let's just say a little bit before their time, then do you really want to trust said company with robotic life? I probably wouldn't necessarily do that, but still. Moving right along, another thing that I think is actually cool, they have a... video. Now, this isn't technically a robot because there is a guy driving it, but they call this a Spiderbot. And the title's precious. It says, "The Spiderbot scares children, kills hippies." Debuting at Burning Man, the Spiderbot seats one and walks along at around 3 miles an hour. I don't know why anybody would do this, and it looks like something straight out of a Wild Wild West, the film with Will Smith, but still, it's just awesome. I think it's really cool that people are thinking of alternative methods of locomotion, shall we say. So it's pretty interesting idea. I wonder if they could actually make that, or I know the Army's probably going to be calling this guy, but if he was a Burning Man, I'm doubting that the Army's actually going to be able to contact this guy, but still, it's really cool. Just head over there and check the video, because it's kind of too hard to believe, and the video's loading a little slow, it's playing a little slow, and it's really poor quality. But still, it's rather interesting, so hopefully you can head on over there and check that out. Just wanted to basically throw that out there. Now, we have a whole bunch of space geeks who listen to this show, people who are interested in space, who are amateur astronomers, and people who are actual astronomers, hopefully. But there's a website out there which, care to see the IIS, ISS, not IIS, care to see the Internet Information Server run by Microsoft? No. Everybody wants to see the ISS, the International Space Station. There was a link up online of somebody seeing with a home telescope the ISS crossing the path of Saturn. And within this same posting, they also had a link to something called the European Space Agency Human Space Flight Center. It's a website where you go online, you click what country you're from, then you type in the name of your town, and it finds the closest one to you, and then tells you where to look, gives you star charts and everything to see the transverse, or the crossing of the International Space Station. I thought that was awesome, so I have it set up for tomorrow so I can actually see, hopefully, see. They say you're supposed to be able to see it with the naked eye, and that it goes pretty quickly, so I'm hoping to see that. One of the funny things about having your son down here at his bedtime is that he starts to pass out in your arms, and then he starts twitching and flailing about. So, it's kind of fun. Let's see what else we got. We have a... the next thing is Google Space. Apparently, Google is partnering up with NASA, and they're teaming up to do something called Google Space, or whatever they're going to actually call it. That's just what everybody seems to be calling it. But they're going to be allowing for download and for view online high-resolution images from NASA of Mars, the Moon, and a whole bunch of other stuff. I mean, and so you're going to be able to access it within Google Earth. So that's just really cool. I really like that idea. So, I thought I'd put it out there. Hopefully people will take advantage of it and check that out. It's linked to a dig over there, so hopefully the site won't actually be down when you go over there. So, and now something that's out of this world. Can we download a little humility here? No, apparently not. Sony says that nobody will ever use all of the power resident within their massive P3, which, by the way, the P3 was named one of the greatest failures of 2006 by Time Magazine, so take that for what it's worth. I mean, I don't know. But still, nobody will ever be able to use 100% of the available power of the PlayStation 3. So, all right, now, most people don't ever use the 100% of the available power of their PCs. But for a game system, if nobody's ever going to be able to design anything that's going to be able to, you know, really run this thing to the edge of its abilities, then why spend that much money? Because you could obviously get a less powered game system that people are going to design for. So, I don't know. It seems kind of it's a bold statement that doesn't really seem to have a lot of, tact involved. But then again, we're talking about Sony, and they have a track record of rather poor public relations problems lately, relating even from their mislabeled use of shills in online sites. Basically, they were cited for paying people to go online and say how great their products were. Some of these people had never even actually used the products. In fact, I'm saying probably most of them didn't, but still. What else do we got over here? Two more things in the tech tidbit section, and we're going to head you on your way. Hopefully, we're going to have a shorter show tonight. But apparently South Korea and China get together and mandate a common charger and common data cables for phones. And yes, it's going to be a standard USB cable for charging. How awesome is this? Right now, in my desk, I've had probably five or six phones. I have probably five or six sets of data cables and chargers. It was a miracle when my wife got a slightly dissimilar phone from me, and I was able to use the same data cable to get the pictures off her phone as one of my phones at that time. That miracle, however, was short-lived, as I soon got another phone. So, a lot of people don't necessarily see the need for data cables, but the way I run my life, I kind of need it. I don't feel like paying 25 cents every time I want to get one of the pictures that I took myself. So, it's just awesome, and I really hope this kind of thing catches on, especially because if it's in South Korea and China, those are rather large markets for cell phones. So I'm thinking that they're going to be able to make it stick, and hopefully the cell phone manufacturers will see the error of their ways, shall we say. And, oh, by the way, one of the biggest offenders for proprietary cables is Verizon. If you plug a knockoff third-party charger into a Verizon cell phone, do you want to know what it does? It tells you this is not our adapter and refuses to charge. Yeah, I was irritated by that more than once. So, last story we have here in the Tech Tidbit section, then we're going to get on to general information. As always, pause for more pod-safe music, and then rock out with our little caffeinated bits section today. The last section, last little thing we have here in the Tech Tidbits is the list of the top 10 geekiest... the top 10 geekiest animals of all times. Apparently, number 10 is Hoover the Seal. apparently, he was able to speak in what was described as a drunken New England accent. Strange. Alex the Parrot, the psychologist's pet. This animal was able to know over 1,000 words. I actually have an article on this guy from way back when I was in, like, middle school. So he could tell the difference between if you showed him three pieces of fruit and one matchbox car, he would say truck and would not stop saying truck until you removed it from the set. Kind of cool. Coco the Gorilla at number 8. Yes, Coco, the one who could talk, basically, had a vocabulary of right around 1,000 words. Your average teenager has probably about 7. But K-9, the time-traveling robot dog, it's fictional, so we're just going to move right along. Number 6 was Hanseken, the elephant pickpocket. It's kind of cool. It lived in the 17th century. She could wave a flag and fire a pistol and presumably feign surrender, then attack her victim when he was off guard. Crazy. Clever Hans, the mathematical horse. Yes, it's the early in the 20th century. So it'd be somebody say, what's 2 plus 2? 1, 2, 3, 4, and then it would go on its way. Alright, number 4 is Dolly the Sheep. Lost her individuality. Yes, Dolly's the first cloned mammal, successfully. And she's unfortunately now deceased, but her lovingly stuffed carcass can apparently be viewed at the Royal Museum in Edinburgh. Crazy stuff. Schrodinger, I'm going to butcher this horribly. Schrodinger's cat, the feline paradox, it's commonly used, never actually existed, supposedly, but apparently it's been used to describe quantum theory, and every time I think of this, I'm like, you know, I understand what it is, and I go in and I look it up, I'm like, oh, that's Schrodinger's cat, and that's exactly what it is. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to find out exactly what it is so that if you're curious, you can go over there and know. But apparently it had some kind of relation to quantum physics. Still, very, very, very cool. Number 2 is Pavlov's dog, the dribbling pioneer. So, yes, this is the dog. When you rang the bell, it would slobber like a dog who was hungry. And number 1 is Hammy the Astro Chimp. Yes, the first chimp in space. So, kind of cool. An interesting little list they got going there over at CNET.co.uk. So, kind of an interesting little cool thing to put out there, and hopefully everybody enjoyed that. We have a little bit of a general information here. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Our show is also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's BlueBrry. And our personal blog, which you can find all kinds of crazy stuff, is over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. And we're getting ready for the season of giving here. We've already made our donations, and hopefully you will too. Don't take our word for it. You can donate wherever you want. We just found two what we believe to be worthy charities. The first one is Operation 2 Million Cups. From over at BocaJava.com and helps support the troops who are across seas. For every 4 ounces of coffee you buy, they get 4 ounces matched, so they get 8 ounces for the price of 4. on your dime, basically, and it kind of helps bring a little bit of home to them. Currently at 1,650,992 cups. All right, next up we have Child's Play Charity. The bar over at Child's Play Charity originally went to $500,000. That's because I believe last year they maxed out at like $605,000, and they weren't sure they were going to be able to duplicate the success. So they have smashed that record and are currently up to $760,000. I'm waiting for the bid on exactly what it is now, because $760,000 was raised for kids last week. Apparently, they raised $210,000 in one night at their Child's Play charity dinner. That is absolutely insane. So I thought it was awesome. Threw it up there. Hopefully, you can head on over there, too. All right, next up here from the PodSafe Music Network, we have the musical stylings of one Dusty Hughes once again, and Do You Hear What I Hear? So by the time we get back here, the boy's actually not going to be with us. We're going to finish out the show without him because he's passed out in my arms right now. But again, here's Dusty Hughes from the PodSafe Music Network and the musical stylings as Do You Hear What I Hear?
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star dancing in the night with a tail as big as a kite, with a tail as big as a kite. Shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the trees, with a voice as big as the sea, with a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, she was in the court, let us bring him silver and gold. We'll be right back.
That was Dusty Hughes and the Do You Hear What I Hear? You are so lucky that you are not here right now, because I sung that entire song to the boy right as we were picking it, so I will not inflict that upon you. You are lucky in that regard, let me just say. And every time I'm tempted to, you know what, I should record something, you know, I should record either me speaking a story or something like that, that way, you know, we could play it for him if I'm not here, and, you know, it'd be like Dad's reading him a story. Every time I think of that, I'm like, you know, I don't know. There's one thing Dad definitely not going to be doing, and that's he's not going to be singing to any kind of recording device, because that's just not copacetic with the set of pipes I have, if you know what I mean. All right, now we have a whole bunch of interesting stuff, at least I think it is, from the Caffeinated Bits section today. We're going to talk a little bit about the gift we received from Fabrice a little while ago, the Ready, Set, Joe. I'm going to talk a little bit about where we are with the spices and how we're going to deal with that a little bit after Christmas. Then we're going to talk about the best way to prepare for your holiday guests' coffee needs. All right, there's no links here. It's just going to be just you and me talking just a little bit. Figure we have a little bit of time, so figure I'd throw this together. Hopefully you'll enjoy it. We try and do a little bit of original content every once in a while. So first off, I'd just like to say that the Ready, Set, Joe, it's a funnel-shaped contraption which sits on top of a coffee mug or a large carafe or whatever else, and it's the closest thing to cold-brewed coffee I've ever had. Now, if you don't know this, cold-brewed or pressed coffee is made by basically putting coffee and then forcing cold water through very tiny holes. You know, putting coffee in a filter, then forcing cold water through very tiny holes, allowing it to seep up some of the coffee. It has a completely different taste, you know, completely different flavor profile, the whole nine yards, than any coffee you've ever had, unless you've had cold pressed coffee. But now the Ready, Set, Joe is I would like to say the happy medium in between percolated and drip brewed coffee and the cold press. Now, cold press coffee gives you a lot more of the flavor. It gives you a lot more of the true nature of the bean, shall we say. So with this thing, the there is no heat from the bottom end of it. No. There's only the heat from the water that you are putting into it. I actually had to go out and had to buy more filters for the thing because I can't find any of the forever filters, you know, the gold baskets, but at least that fit this because it's kind of like the cone filter. But love this thing. It is unbelievable the kind of coffee that it can churn out. The only thing I would probably request is a larger capacity one so that I would be able to put more water over top of it and I could have like larger cups of coffee without having to sit there and pour and pour and pour. Still, the hole is just large enough at the bottom of it, at least, that you could put incredibly hot tap water into it and have the same effect. The water stays around and steeps cooks the coffee beans ever so slightly, the ground coffee, and then drips through. It's a slightly lighter cup than if you were to try boiling water, but still, it's very good coffee, very tasty, very flavorful. Now we're going to talk a little bit about some of the more of the spices that, like, we have been doing. Both with stuff in work and with things at home and, you know, gearing up for the holidays, it's kind of been crazy lately. So I haven't really been able to devote as much time as I would like to into coffee spices and everything like that, you know, explaining exactly what each one was for you. So we're just going to endeavor to pick it up again after the holidays. So the first Wednesday after Christmas, shall we say, is going to be a spice-a-palooza almost. We're actually going to be throwing down a lot of the spices because, again, we have that week off there. So hopefully I'll be able to devote a little bit of time to writing. So you're going to get some great content those days. And finally here from the Caffeinated Bits section at the Caffeination, we have the best way to prepare for holiday guests' coffee needs. Now, I've had a lot of people ask me about this. Say, well, what do you do when you have people coming over for coffee? Well, I serve them coffee. How you feel about that? Now, there's a couple different things you can do to try and, like, especially if you don't really know how everybody feels about coffee. First off, if people like coffee, they're going to like plain coffee. So make sure you have a nice medium to dark roast coffee in your house. If you have a drip brew, sure, that's fine. If you have something like I do and you have the Cuisinart grind and brew, you don't have to pre-grind your beans or make sure they're fresh or anything. I personally like keeping all the beans in the freezer unless they're in one of those vacuum-sealed cans because you really can't improve the Folgers or whatever else it is. But If you buy whole bean coffee, definitely keep it in the freezer because it just seems to keep the taste in a lot longer. I know a lot of people who throw a little bit of salt into the grounds after, I mean, just ever so slight of a pinch, because it actually takes a lot of the oil out of the coffee, but I haven't really had that much of a problem with it. But definitely stock a rather plain coffee. You don't want to throw in like a hazelnut or a vanilla bean or some other eggnog coffee. I mean, it's nice, but you're going to have less people that are actually interested in your flavor preferences. So what I would suggest to do is actually get flavored creamers. Now, these are the opposite side of the spectrum. You have the flavored coffees, which are one thing, and if you're like me, you drink your coffee black without any sugar, then that's the way you want to go if you want to change the flavors up. Or you add a little bit of spice. But a lot of people don't necessarily like that. So if you have the plain coffee and the flavored creamers, you have your plain, you have your French vanilla. We just tried eggnog not too long ago and pumpkin spice, both of which are unbelievable. They're very good. They completely change the coffee into some other kind of beverage. But it's still rather good. And then you have your array of sweeteners. Most people tend to stock the traditional, the pink and the yellow and the white. So that would be your normal sugars, sweet and lows, and Splendas. Because there's a sect of people who don't like sweet and low but will not use sugar. When I have been sweetening my coffee, I used to use Splenda. Not so much anymore. I just decided, you know what, I'm going to use like a half a teaspoon of sugar. Because, I mean, hey, it's sugar. It's not going to hurt you. You just have to do everything in moderation. So I hope you kind of understand what I'm trying to go for here. Now, but this doesn't take into account one specific person. If you do have one of those heathens in your family who only drinks decaffeinated beverages, who does love the taste of coffee, but for some reason or another, they are incapable of enjoying it within its natural state, the caffeinated fullness that it is, then I suggest that you go out, and Folgers has these, and I think a couple other people do, but they are basically coffee tea bags. They come in little packets, and that way you don't have to infect your coffee pot with the nastiness, which is decaf. No. You can rather do something along the lines of you just boil some water in a teapot, you throw it into the a cup, and throw the little tea bag of decaf coffee in there. That's how we accommodate people here at the Caffeination headquarters. If you are unlucky enough to not be able to enjoy caffeine, or if you're just that much of a heathen that you don't enjoy caffeine, then we throw the little tea bag in the cup and you better be happy with that. Let's put it that way. But again, I would strongly recommend people stay away from the flavored coffees just because you're inflicting what you think tastes good on somebody else. And never, never, never mix different kinds of coffee. I know some people who do this. I know my parents do it every once in a while, and it doesn't always taste the right way, and they actually laughed at me at the last time I told them it. But if you think it might be a really good idea and you'd like to do a half and half blend, make sure they're not flavored coffees. Half and half blends need to be the same roast, bought hopefully at the same time, and then if you're really, really particular like I am and you really still need a half-calf, not, you know, half-calf, half-not, grind them at the same time. Mix equal parts of the beans in the grinder and then grind them. At least it gives them some kind of a cohesive taste. If you're going to have two pre-ground cups of coffee or two pre-ground packages of coffee and you're going to mix them together, it's just not going to be functional. They're going to taste separate because they are. They were brewed probably miles in country. Countries even apart, or they were roasted perhaps, miles and countries apart. You have no idea when either one of them was actually made. So if you're going to be mixing coffee, I would definitely suggest, first of all, getting the whole beans, because at least then you can grind them at the same time, and they'll have kind of the same aeration going on, and they'll have the same, you know, grind. Because, I mean, people, when you get coffee from the supermarket, it all comes out in the same grind. It all comes out in the same kind of texture. But there's just slight variations. So if you mix them together and you throw it through your little $10 grinder from the supermarket, at least you know that that's the same. So hopefully these little tips will get you through the holidays. We're going to try and throw a show out on Sunday, and we might even have just an all-musical show to throw out or planned to go out on Christmas Day, just to get the demographic, which just got you know, iPods and Zunes and everything else and still love coffee. So the first time somebody plugs in their iPod, hopefully our show will be one of the ones ahead on there. So hope everybody enjoyed this podcast. We had, like I said, our co-host is now snoring soundly upstairs. So hopefully sweet dreams to him. And this is going to be a fun. You know, we're hopefully going to have great first Christmas with the boys. So it's been kind of cool here talking to you here on the Caffeination 091 Holiday Wrappings. We're wrapping up everything here. So if you need to get in contact with us, you can head on over and email caffeination@gmail.com. Our website is www.caffeination.com. There's a recipe section over there. I'm going to be writing a little guide to go up relatively shortly. It's going to be a blog post and a page at the same time. You know, that was kind of weird sounding, but it's going to be a little bit... it's going to try and capture the essence of the end of this podcast, how you prepare coffee for the holidays, for your guests and everything like that. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. Yeah, so again, you can, if you're looking for us on MySpace, we're over at myspace.com/caffeination. My personal blog's over at puzzlepiecepro.com/blog. And again, that website's www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.